recording. Good morning, everyone, and you all are being so quiet, I haven't even muted the phones, but I think I'm going to go mute the phones. All right. So, we're recording, and good morning, everyone. This is Laura Cornell of Divine Feminine Yoga, and we are here with our resident expert, Liz Reed. We're going to be doing an interview today with Liz. Liz is my virtual assistant, and what that means is that she assists me in all the technical aspects of my business, and she is virtual. That means she doesn't live near me. Liz is actually in Canada, and so we connect with each other via email. We talk on the phone, and she manages a lot of projects for me over the Internet, and this is actually a new business that people are starting called being a virtual assistant. And it's something that as you grow, I recommend each one of you consider, and there are things you could probably start using Liz for right away. So we're going to be talking with her about all the questions that we have gathered on the Ning site, and thank you to everyone who has posted your questions. And we've gathered those. I've also gathered the questions that I have been getting from my private clients. And we will take questions today on the call, probably near the end. We may kind of take a breather in the middle and say, are you guys getting it? And we are going to try to go slow. We're going to just, you know, one thing I want to say about learning technology is that you can't learn it all in one day. You can't learn it all in one month. And so I think for all of us to pace ourselves on this call is going to be good, and pace yourself in learning technology. Like anything, you can't grow your yoga business, can't become an expert teacher in one day or one month or even a year, really. It takes time to grow a business. It takes time to become an expert in anything. And so we're going to practice that patience today as we go through the technological questions. I do have a cold today. You can probably hear my voice is a little bit lower than usual. I'm sitting here with my tea, and I am super grateful that Liz is going to be answering many of the questions, so I won't have to do all the speaking. That's wonderful. I did want to start out with a little bit of just a kind of reminders about the retreat, the Radiant Yoga Teacher Retreat. A number of you have signed up and really, really looking forward to seeing you March 25th, that's a Sunday night, through Tuesday afternoon. We're going to have a great time in Florida, and I'm just really getting excited to be with you in person and really help you kind of step physically into your presence as a yoga teacher and step physically into your own unique passion. It's one thing what we're talking about through the telephone is good, but I think being together we'll have even more of an opportunity to really embody the goddesses in our work and to help you embody your passion and embody with clarity your best gifts and practice saying them to each other and practice speaking your passion. And we're going to develop you know, your unique program, which is that ocean. How can you really develop that? And we're going to talk about how to invite private clients. We'll be looking at the whole marketing plan, really, which is the Lakshmi energy of abundance, and how you can magnetize the right opportunities, the right clients to you, and really bring more beauty and abundance into your own life so that you live with greater peace and freedom. And you have all the students that you want. Really, wouldn't that be great if each one of us, and won't that be great when it's true, that each one of us is really fulfilling our mission through reaching the students we're meant to reach and having the income that we need to not kind of live in scarcity and lack, but to live with the resources that we need to support our mission. It's a beautiful place to be, and I'm so grateful to say that that's the position that I'm in, and that's the position that I want for each one of you. So I really look forward to kind of getting my hands on your business and being with you up close and personal at this retreat to do that. And we'll go, one thing that we'll do very much in detail there also is how to invite private clients. We'll look at the whole marketing piece, but also very specifically the one-on-one conversations that bring your highest level clients, whether that's training, mentoring, private lessons, specializations, and the whole funnel, the whole way to really invite them in. Ah, yes, my voice is getting deeper. I'm going to take a drink of tea here. So, you do have a free ticket. You do need to register that ticket. And Liz, let's just go out when we're done to sometime today, Monday. Let's send out the reminder again so they know how to register their ticket. It's free to you. You do need to register. It's $97 to register your ticket, and that is the deposit that you will get back the moment you walk in the retreat room. Okay, we don't make any money off this deal. It's just so that we are really clear on if you're coming or not. We'll give you the money back when you come to the retreat, and it's just our way of knowing who's coming. So we'll send out that email again today in case anyone has lost it. Okay, so let's start with our okay, what I wanted to say was as soon as you've registered your ticket, what happens is we email the Yoga Center and let them know that you are on our comp list. And then you need to register your housing. And we will send you detailed information as soon as we get your registration of the housing. There's still dorm housing and there's still a private room, amazingly, at the Discover Yoga Center. So you could get that. And then there's nearby motels and hotels as well. And we'll give you information on all of those recommendations as soon as we get your registration. Okay. So let's get into our content for today, which is the tech stuff. And we had a very interesting question from Julie Norman that I actually want to start with because I think it will give a good context to all of this. So thank you, Julie, for asking this question. And what Julie asked me was, she said, Laura, I'd love to hear your own journey towards becoming tech savvy. And I like that, Julie, because I think it'll just kind of lay the groundwork. You know, sometimes I don't feel very tech savvy. I'm like, Liz, help me with this, help me with that. But then I have to acknowledge that there is a whole lot that I know about how to manage the internet, how to manage an online, all the online aspects that go along with business today in today's business world. And I have learned a lot. So I thought that was a great question. And I think that it's been a combination of taking classes when I could, getting tutoring, hiring help, strategic help, and often my help has trained me along the way so that I can follow up on pieces and keep things going, and then learning from friends like my husband, other friends, and trying things out and playing. You know, you have to kind of get in there and get dirty. You have to be willing to make mistakes. You will not have technology perfect when you start, and that's okay. You'll learn from your mistakes. And, you know, I still make mistakes, and hopefully I'm making fewer and fewer of them. Sometimes they feel like big mistakes, but it's okay. And, you know, I'm still here, and you just keep going. So it's a combination of study, play, playing around with it, asking questions, paying for help, and then the help will sometimes help you and train you in things. Those are really the main things that I would say. And just to go into a little more detail about that, my first website was 2001, and my first website was lauracornell.com, and it was about my yoga teaching, and it was I hired a local designer who was a friend that I knew through some acquaintances. She actually went to an ashram. She was a yogini, and she was also a designer. And she did all the design and set it up for me. I think it was about $600, which even in those days was a phenomenally low amount and still is for a customized website. And she trained me in the back end so that I could make my own changes going forward. So she trained me in how to do Dreamweaver, which was a software that people used to use for websites. So I could go in and make my own changes. And then I even later imported my husband's website onto my old computer and would make changes on his website using Dreamweaver. So it was a combination of hiring help and then the help training me in certain things that I could fix myself. My website is no longer on Dreamweaver. Now I think pretty much the easiest way to get a website, and I'm going to ask Liz once she comes on to talk more to this, is WordPress. So I'll let Liz talk about that. But there was a WordPress class that a friend of my husband's was teaching just 1 year ago, and I went and I took it. I took six evening classes. And in that time, I basically learned how to create my own website and edit and modify it. And then I paid help for about $200 to take my previous website and import it into WordPress. And I found WordPress much easier than Dreamweaver. And then later, I changed that over. I had to pay another $200 to pay someone when I changed my domain name, which is my website name. So I encourage you to be taking notes as we go through this. Domain name is the name of your website. Mine used to be lauracornell.com. I still have lauracornell.com. It actually redirects. If someone types in lauracornell.com, they will be forwarded to my new domain name, which as of last May became divinefeminineyoga.com. And so I paid someone to transfer all my old pages onto the new domain, and then I could update it in WordPress. Along the way, I had taken a lot of classes at my local Apple store. I switched to Apple a few years ago because I was getting too many viruses on PC, and it just really frustrated me. Macintosh computers are more expensive, but I liked the help. The help is way better with an Apple computer. And what I can do is I buy a year of free classes and a year of free tutoring at the Apple store for $99. So they have helped me with a lot of things. When I my current database, which is Bento, it's a small database for Apple. They trained me how to use in that $99 year package. When I shot my first video for YouTube, I shot it on my iPhone, which I only got 6 months ago. They showed me how to upload that onto YouTube. You know, I didn't know how to do YouTube. They showed me how to do that. They showed me how to use my calendar, how to import what all my data, which had previously been in Microsoft Excel. They showed me how to import that into the contacts. They showed me how to organize my bookmarks in my web browser. Now, if you don't know what bookmarks are, this is when you have an internet program. Now, I have three internet programs on my computer. I have Safari, which is a Macintosh program. I have Firefox. Now, a lot of you might have Internet Explorer. Those are all web browser programs, and I'm sure that Liz can say this better than I am. And Liz, I'm going to let you make any corrections to all my mistakes here in a minute, okay? sorry. I'll just finish this little bit of a story. And then I started to get a longer and longer list of websites that I frequently visited. And so they showed me how to organize that into folders of bookmarks. And I actually have a bookmarks bar across the top here. They help of the ones that I go to most frequently, and they're organized by my mentor, who's Pamela Bruner, and all of her bookmarks related to the websites and the trainings I've had with her. My website and my email internet, health, I have a whole bunch of health, news, banking, all my different banking sites, travel, shopping, church and social, tools and reference. I have one for my husband and everything related to him. Honestly, the ones I use the most are the first two, and I have bookmarks listed under that. So I learned how to organize bookmarks from them. Another way that I learned was from staff. When I was director of Green Yoga Association, we had staff, part-time staff assistants. They helped me set up with my first free teleconferencing when we would do our board meetings for Green Yoga Association on the telephone. And we had a free teleconferencing system. They showed me how to do that. They taught me how to use a database. They taught me QuickBooks. I set up eFax Messenger, and we'll talk about some of these things more. But so you can learn from employees. You can learn from friends. You can learn from tutoring. So what I would recommend if you're just getting started with technology or you're feeling overwhelmed is to acknowledge yourself for what you have already learned, because it can feel like a lot, and then get clear on what you don't know that you want to learn. Make a list and, you know, try and learn one thing a month or one thing a year or one thing a week, depending on how fast you choose to grow. And then at the right time, you will need to hire help. Okay, so I've hired help in developing my website, and then more recently I hired Liz in July when I knew that I was going to be putting on the Divine Feminine Yoga Telesummit, because that was really a massive project. It involved building out a new website. It involved sending lots of emails to large numbers of people. It involved having other people send emails for me, which is called an affiliate system. and it involved all the teleconferencing. So it was more than I really wanted to take on. Along the way, Liz has taught me some of those things, but I just let her handle it all from the beginning. So you will need to hire help at certain points. Be ready to hire help and learn from the help as you go along, but let the help get you started. And the help also makes you be more efficient. There's no way I could be serving the number of students and the number of private clients that I'm serving without Liz's help today. She runs a lot of aspects of my business. So with that, I'm going to introduce Liz. So Liz has her own business now. It's called Reed's Virtual Assistants. Did I say that right, Liz?
No, Reed's Virtual Solutions.
Solutions. Yes, okay. Yes, I am a little bit foggy brain this morning. Okay, readvirtualsolutions.com. I'm sure she'll spell that out for you. And so this is a company. She's located in Canada, and she has other people working for her. And what she does is she manages projects for her clients. And they can do all sorts of things, from building websites to managing your online teleconferencing to helping you get MP3s on your website to Liz's company has also helped my husband answering the telephone for his chiropractic neurology business. They can create beautiful Word documents. They can. She's managing the retreat, who's going to the retreat, and all those lists. And she does my online calendar and my husband's online calendar. Before she got into running her own business, Liz worked in retail. She was a manager of retail. She worked at Walmart managing their store. She worked at Goodwill Industries, managing a nonprofit store, and she has training in office administration. Very detail-oriented, which I appreciate. And so that's my introduction of Liz. Liz, I'm so glad to have you here with us today.
I'm really excited to be here.
Do you want to correct any of my mistakes, or do you want to give your own introduction before we go into some of the technical details, the questions we've been getting?
I think you gave a pretty good introduction. I didn't really hear any mistakes in anything that you said. I could elaborate on some more of what you said, especially about using a Mac instead of a PC. I'm still using a PC, but Macintosh computers and Apple products are a superior quality. And once you've used them, you will never go back to a PC. The support is better. It's just better all the way around, but it is a different system. And they're not 100% compatible.
No. No, they're not.
No.
Do you want to give your own answer to the question, how do you, you know, a lot of, I know that we have various levels of comfort with technology in this class, the Thriving Yoga Teacher Program. Some probably are already doing a lot on the Internet, and some probably are doing very little. I've had people say to me, what is a URL? You know, which I'll just say is a website address. So there's some real beginners and some more experienced techie people. What? How do you recommend the beginners, or all of us, because there's a lot of things I still need to learn, how do you recommend learning technology?
I think the best way to learn technology is, you mentioned, from your hired help, from the people that you hire to help you. Most of us in this type of industry, if you're interested in learning it, we're more than happy to teach you what you need to know in order to be able to maintain it, and it's an excellent way for you to learn what you need to know. But I'd also like to recognize the fact that not everybody in this class really wants to learn the technical part. Some people are just not interested in that and just want to be able to have it done for them and don't ever really want to know how it works. Just make it happen. I don't want to know how it works. And that's a very... that's a very valid place for some people to be, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with being in that place. And we need to understand our personalities, our own strengths, and our own weaknesses.
That's right. And I would agree with that. It's totally fine not to learn stuff. At the same time, if you can at least understand some of the language, you will have a better conversation with your help, with your assistant, and you'll be able to supervise your assistant better if you understand how things work. Because then if there's a failure, if there's a breakdown in the system, you'll understand more. Was it a personal error, you know, individual failure? Was it a systems failure? There's a lot of things that can go wrong with technology, and so we all need patience with that. And so the more you understand about it, the more it will make sense when those things don't work so well.
And there's a lot of patience involved in trying to work in this type of an atmosphere where it's virtual and we're not meeting face-to-face and you're not writing, showing me a diagram of something that you want done. There's a lot more potential for error, so we have to be very careful to temper our patience with those things as well.
Right. So, Liz, we have a ton of questions, and you and I have looked at all the questions. We kind of have a list here. I'm wondering, should we start with how to get a website up, or do you want to start on another topic?
We can start with how to get a website up.
Okay. So how do I find help for my website or for other technical functions, and what's the best way to get a website set up quickly?
So when you need to hire somebody for some technical help, the best place to start is by asking the people that you know. Ask your friends, ask your family, ask your colleagues. Are they knowledgeable in these technical areas that you need help with? Or do they use someone, and who do they use? Because if your colleague is already using a virtual assistant, then they're probably going to be a fairly good place for you to look at talking to their virtual assistant. If you're in a similar industry, they'll already know about your industry. A virtual assistant can work in any industry, but it is very helpful if your assistant has some knowledge of the industry that you're wanting them to work in. It tends to make the process work a lot smoother. It doesn't always have to be that way. I will readily admit I knew very little about yoga when I started to work with Laura. I've learned a lot along the way.
Yeah.
A website. If you're interested in learning how to do it yourself, there's a lot of free sites out there. And a lot of the free sites will walk you through step by step. It's not very painful. It's pretty easy to do it. Free sites generally have specific limitations to them. WordPress is a great place for people to start. It's a great place for people who have a little bit of technical knowledge, but they're not super, super techie. Because you can go in, you can maintain your site, you can easily make changes, you could add another page. Those things are all really easy to do in WordPress. And they market themselves as very user-friendly, and you don't need to know the big, scary HTML code to work in WordPress. However, they do still have limitations in that if you have no tech experience and you don't want to learn it at all, you're limited to their, I call them cookie cutter templates. They have wonderful templates in there, but there could be 1,000 other websites out there using exactly the same template that are going to look almost identical to yours in the end. So if you want to be able to truly brand your website and brand your company, you will probably need to look at hiring somebody to give you a hand to get your pages customized with your colors and just exactly so it represents you. And then if it's in something like WordPress, you will be able to go in and maintain that once it's originally set up.
That's right. Now, Liz, in case there is anyone on the call who wants to learn WordPress by themselves, there's WordPress.com and there's WordPress.org, and I always get confused which is the one for more beginners that's free. One of them is free, right?
I believe it's WordPress.com that is free.
Yeah, I think that's right. And So what you can do is you can go to WordPress.com, and there should be a ton of tutorials. You can download the software onto your computer, and you can set up your own WordPress site. There are also classes you can take from widely varying price ranges. I know someone who offers a $1,000 seminar online in how to build a WordPress site. I took a class that was $100, and then it was $200 for the 6 classes. So you might be able to find local WordPress classes or online WordPress classes that are paid or do all their tutorials and learn how to set up a WordPress.com site. And I just want to underscore what Liz has said, that you get a header, and the header is the picture at the top. When I first did a WordPress site, I had a header. I picked a very pretty tree. it was a tree with like little tiny blossoms all over it. But Liz is right. There could have been 1,000 other people on the web that had that site. And it wasn't until I hired that had that same picture on their website. So my website was not really customized. It wasn't until I hired Liz that her graphic designer, who I believe is your son, designed my what is now my banner. The banner is the picture at the top that has a picture of me, and it says Divine Feminine Yoga. So that's quote-unquote branded. It's more unique to me. And that, in order to get a unique header, you do need to hire a designer or a web designer to do that for you.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I just want to go back to learning WordPress for a second. You can also go to YouTube.com. And there are tons of videos on YouTube on how to do anything you're trying to do on a WordPress website. So if you're trying to make a change and you're just a little bit stuck, you can go to YouTube.com, and there are tons of excellent videos there that can help you through that process as well.
Right. And now we're in this position where I do know some WordPress, but most of the new pages that get put up on my website, for example, the Radiant Yoga Teacher Retreat, which has a long description and boxes and testimonials, and there's photos now. You can see I upgraded it because my mentor told me to improve it. Liz did that for me. I wouldn't know how. The more fancy page, you know, I can do a simple page, but the more fancy pages that have boxes and photos, I have Liz program for me. So we have this combination where I will make some changes to some of the simpler pages on my own website, like the About page. I know how to change. Or the home page of my website is also very simple. I know how to change the text on that. But if it's one of the more complex pages that is more graphically interesting, I hire Liz to do that. So there's kind of a combination. Let's think. Do you want to say anything about Dreamweaver? One of my clients asked me a few weeks ago about Dreamweaver. Do you know anyone still on Dreamweaver? Do you recommend people learn it?
I don't recommend that people learn it. I believe that Alex still does have Dreamweaver and can use it. I have not used Dreamweaver.
And you don't recommend it because?
I think there's just so many newer options out there that are online, they're free, they're relatively easy to use. Dreamweaver, you have to purchase the program, do you not?
Yes, you do.
Yes. So there's an additional cost associated with Dreamweaver.
Right. Okay, now Violaine asked a question today that's on the Q&A, and you all are welcome to, which was, I'm wondering how I can start a one-page website and place my gift recording on. This is moving us into online teleseminars and recordings and delivering MP3s. I need to set it up so I get the email for release. Maybe we can answer this question because I know Violaine was going to drop off and see, and then we'll hear from Violaine if we actually answered it. Also, I feel lost about the business websites like Facebook, LinkedIn. We probably will get to Facebook and LinkedIn later in the call. But Liz, do you want to respond to a one-page website where she has her gift recording and getting the email for release? And that is called, Violaine, an opt-in box or an opt-in page, and I'm going to let Liz explain it.
It's also sometimes called a landing page. It can be used as a separate page before someone enters your website. So as a landing page, when someone types in your URL, which is your web address, they would come to a page that would prompt them to enter their email, their name, and you have the ability to choose what information you're asking them to enter there. When they submit the information, then they would receive the gift recording from you and proceed on to your website. Now, kind of sounds by the question that Violaine is looking to simply just have the one page, not use it as a landing page, to just have that as a page.
Now, Liz, rather than having it be a page, like if you look at my website, I have an opt-in box, right?
Yes, so it can be done as a box.
If we all go to Divine, I'm going to use this as an example, folks. It could be a page or it could be a box. If you go to divinefeminineyoga.com, and this is my home page, there's the, some simple text. This is text I know how to edit on WordPress. And then there is a box to the side that says claim your free ebook, The Heart of Moon Yoga, Three Essential Tools to Deepen Your Yoga and Get You Started with the Moon Salutation. And the reason it's called an opt-in box, Violaine, is that people are opting in to receive a gift. They're opting in by giving their name and their email. Then they click submit, and that puts them on a list in my email program. We'll talk about email programs in a minute, but this is called an opt-in box. And Liz, do you want to tell Violaine how she would go about getting a box like that set up?
You would get the code to create that through your email management system, which would be a program like One Shopping Cart, Constant Contact, AWeber, MailChimp, MailDog. There are hundreds of them out there. That is the program that's going to collect the data, and you're going to be able to manage that data once you have collected it, and they all provide you with some degree of tools to be able to create the HTML code to use on a website to create that nice-looking box where they're going to enter their information.
Okay, great. And I think we need to back up a little bit because I want to really slow this down. First of all, I want to say, Violaine, and anybody who's listening, I have never created my own opt-in boxes. I have always hired help for this because I'm not good at it, and it's something you don't do very often. So it's really okay to hire out for it. Even if you learn how to edit your own WordPress site, like I can't tell you how many times I've changed the home page on my website, the text here, or if you go to the About page. You know, as I said before, your bio is always a work in progress. So I've changed, and that's just straight text. I have changed the text on my About page. I have changed the text on my home page many, many times without paying an assistant or paying for help. However, I have never set up this opt-in box myself. I've always used help. Before I had Liz, when I first set up my first opt-in box, which was a year ago, February, I didn't even have an opt-in box until then, I paid the person who created my site at that time, and it wasn't that expensive. And now, basically, Liz is right, and this is where your website relates to your email management program. They're connected here, because what happens is, when they submit their name and their email on your box, your opt-in box, it sends a message to your email program. So what I was using before was Constant Contact, and we will in a minute go through all the different types of email management programs. And Liz will talk about the pluses and minuses of different ones, and some of the, there's hundreds, as Liz says, but we'll go over a few of them. Before when I did this, it was Constant Contact. So Constant Contact then receives this little message from your website saying, hello, this person put their name and their email in, and they would like the Moon Salutation book, ebook, it's a free ebook. And then that sets up a process within Constant Contact that's called an autoresponder process. So you want to know this word, autoresponder. And what that means is, there's an automatic response that your email system will send to the person automatically when they fill in that box. And that's why it's called an autoresponder. So they get an immediate email saying, hello, and thank you for signing up for this ebook gift, and here's the link. And then within that email, it tells them where to go on my website. It's like a secret page of the website that you can't get unless you've received that email. You click on the link, it goes to that page on the website, on my website, and you all can go and test how this works if you want to see how it works. You get an autoresponder that will come to you and say, thank you for signing up for the ebook on the Moon Salutation, and here it is. And then you click on the link, it goes to my website, and you download the PDF. So what I would recommend you do, Violaine, is as soon as you get a website up, you can learn how to do this. You might be able to spend, you know, a couple hours on help with your email management program. I never knew how to do that. But I would recommend actually hiring someone to set up an opt-in box for you. And then what yours would say is, please put your name and your email here, and you will receive access to a guided visualization on prenatal yoga. I'm just using words. I'm sure you would have different, maybe probably much juicier words than that, Violing. We can work on that with you. But so then they put their name, their email. It goes to an autoresponder in your email system, and your email sends them automatic, even while you're asleep, because they can do it in the middle of the night, email saying, thank you so much for signing up for your free audio from Violaine. I'm so happy to serve you, and here's this free audio, and in the audio you'll learn how to relax and get ready for your healthy, happy birth. And then it would be a link to a page on your website where you would have put the MP3, the recording that you make of your guided visualization, and they can download the MP3. Am I saying this correctly, Liz?
Yes, you are. You are.
Yeah.
And I would just like to elaborate on it a little bit. On your website, it is as a box. If she doesn't have a website yet and she simply just wants the landing page, that can happen too. You don't have to have the website first. We can do it just as a landing page. And that is the same process that we use for your sign-up pages for your free call. So prior to this program, you had a free call that was the top 5 mistakes that yoga teachers make that keep them small and broke. That was a single web page. It can stand all on its own. It has the information. It has a sign-up box. And how we created that box is the same process we would have used to create just a little box on your home page. And then the process that follows that is the same. People would enter their name and their email, hit submit, and they automatically got an email that told them the details of the call. So if it was a product, they would automatically get an email with details of how to get the product.
Right. That's great. Thank you. And Violaine, maybe you could type in. I know you said you were hopping off the phone at 45 minutes past the hour. If this helps you or if you have any more questions about this, go ahead and type them in right now and I'll just refresh my browser. I just want to say briefly, if you're a new yoga teacher and you're wanting to set up a website, one option is to use the free website situation that comes with, I think a lot of yoga teacher associations or massage associations or coaches associations offer a very simple website that you can set up for free. So that is one option to you. If you're wanting to set up your own basic website, I just want to tell you the pages I would most recommend. I would recommend a home page that very clearly says who you are and who you serve, what problem you solve. So don't just start describing, I teach this and this and this. No, call out your audience. Call out your passion and your why. And be very specific. If you have a target population, you want to speak to that population in words they will understand. Touch on some of the pain points, some of the pleasure points, of things that this population is looking for. And a little bit of your story, why you do it. And then links to your program. So a home page, I would recommend an opt-in box, a gift, as soon as you're ready. So you would have a free gift. And it could be an audio. It could be a PDF. Could be a video that they get the link to once they give you their email. But the most common are audio or PDF. And I'll just say the way you create a PDF is you simply create a Word document in your word processor, or on Macintosh I use Pages. And then you can, from there, in the file bot, if you can go either export it as a PDF or you can say print. And then when it says print, you can say save as PDF. So you just create a PDF from your word processing program, and you turn a report into a gift. So I would recommend as soon as you can. Doesn't have to be the first thing you do, but when you're ready to start gathering email addresses and giving out a gift, and we'll talk more about why to give this gift in our training call on Lakshmi, have a gift, have an about page about you and your passion. This would be your bio, a longer version of your bio than would go on flyers. Have a page for your programs, which could be your classes, could be free programs, could be paid programs. And you can, model and look at mine programs page. It could be, I would recommend having a contact page where how people can reach you. If you want them calling you, put your phone number. If you have an email address, if you have Skype, you know, where are you? Contact. And then when you're ready, just start having a blog, which would be simply be lists of articles. Okay? Those are the things the basics that I recommend. And Liz actually has a package for this, for creating this, which I have to tell you is extremely reasonably priced. Liz is good, and she is not expensive. So we'll tell you a little bit later in the call how to hire her if you want. And I'm going to, okay, Violaine says, great, thank you, ladies. Okay, Liz, I think we did it.
Sounds nice.
Violaine liked that answer.
Okay.
Let's talk about email management systems, and then I'm going to open it up for Q&A on this, on what we've done so far. Do you want to talk about email programs?
What would you like to know about email programs?
People always want to know which should they choose, as if we could tell them. So maybe you could talk about the different things that email programs do and how to make a decision. There's widely ranging, varying prices. Some are free, and some, you know, the one I'm using right now, one shopping cart, costs $100 a month. So maybe you could talk about the less expensive ones, the more expensive ones, and most of the people on our call are probably going to start with either free or low cost. Maybe Constant Contact, I think, is $30 a month, or is it $15? There's AWeber. Maybe you could just go over some of the ones you know and what you see as pluses and minuses.
Okay. They're very widely varied, and they do vary widely in price. There are free ones, and there are, if you were a major corporation and you wanted to use something like this instead of doing it in-house, they are as expensive as $1,000 a month. And
you know,
boy, wouldn't I love to be able to pay that.
Wow, that's amazing. Liz, I want to back up 1 minute. Why would somebody, let's start from the real beginning here. Why would somebody need an email management system? Why wouldn't they just send from their own email? What's the difference?
Okay. Well, actually, there's several differences, and some of the differences depend on your email provider, which is who you get your email through. Some are internet providers like Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail, like that. Some are a service provider, so where you get your internet from will provide you with an internet address like AOL, or I can't think of any others at this moment. But if you're sending from that type of private email in bulk, they generally have limits. And they, at some point, they're going to say, oh, whoa, 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 you're spamming people sending that much all the same. You can't do that. And sometimes they'll actually freeze your account for 24 to 48 hours, and you can't get any email in or out.
Do you think that's if you're sending 100 at a time, or what is the number that they start to sanction you?
You know, it really depends on the provider. I know some of the providers here in Canada, the limit is 30. It's
okay.
That low. Once you hit 30, if you send 31 together, they freeze your account for 24 hours.
Okay.
I belong to a local networking group that is run on a shoestring budget by two ladies. And they have a list of about 120 people. And she had her list divided into groups of 28. So she would send the email to these 28, and she would wait an hour, and she'd send to the next 28, and she would wait an hour, and she would send to the next 28.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty time-consuming. It would take most
of
her day to get out a notice about an event coming up. So she's now using a free email management program, and is very happy with the fact that she has everybody's information in there, and she types it in once, and she hits send, and it goes to everybody all at once.
Great. Do you want to name some of the free programs, Liz? Have you ever used them, and which ones do you like?
All the free ones have a lot of limitations to them. I've used MailChimp, which is free. A lot of them have a free trial period, so that you could try them out for 30 days or 60 days, get an idea, does it provide what you want, And if it doesn't, you know, try something else. Look at that. I actually have, you'll hear me rustling some papers here. I have comparisons of several different email management systems. MailChimp is the only one that
of the free ones have free help? Because when I started with an email management system, I used Constant Contact, which I believe is $30 a month. And the reason I chose that is they have free phone support. So if I was stuck, which I often was, they would help me and they would fix it.
The free ones have, at best, email support for help, which means you're going to email your question to them and you're going to sit and twiddle your thumbs and wait and hope somebody answers you. How good they are at answering, I can't say for sure. I haven't had to use the help in the free ones. But even some of the paid ones, that is also something to look at when you're looking at paid ones, because some of the paid ones do not offer free phone support. One shopping cart, which Laura is currently using, offers free unlimited email support. But if you want to have phone support, there's a per-incident charge, or there's a monthly charge that you could pay in addition to what the other amount you're paying them to be able to call at any point in time for any issue. I think the biggest thing to know when you're going to try to determine which email management system to use, start at the basics. What do you want the system to do? Figure out what you want the system to do, and then start looking at the features of the systems. They're all going to let you send emails, because that's what they're all about. But are you going to need to be able to segment your lists later? Are you going to want to be able to segment your list into local yoga teachers and not local yoga teachers, so that you could send a message only to the local ones because you're hosting an event at the local yoga studio?
Listen, in our case, with most of our clients, with most of the people on this call, excuse me, it would be, you know, my prenatal yoga list or my senior yoga list. That would be the segmentation.
Okay. I couldn't think of another segmentation to come up with. For a lot of people, it's physical location is how they segment their list. Some industries want to segment their list from men from women. Not all email management programs allow you good list segmentation.
Mm-hmm.
You also, we've talked a little bit about these sign-up forms and these landing pages and opt-in boxes, all of that. You need to have an idea of how many of those you're going to need to use when you go look at your email management system, because some of them only allow you to create one opt-in box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a generic box that you're going to have to use for everything. In some cases, that works, and that works very well. In an instance such as Laura's, that doesn't work very well because right now you've got probably three or four different opt-in boxes out there that we've used for different things. Well, two that are working right now all the time is your opt-in box on your homepage, as well as the telesummit that you did in September.
Mm-hmm.
You've left that up for a year, so
right.
People are still able to go and sign up for that several months after the fact, and they will continue to for several months. So you need to know that whatever program you're going to use has the ability to allow you to do that if that's what you're looking at. I don't really recommend starting with the free ones because they have such limitations to them.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that you look ahead to what your business is going to be and look for something that fits those needs. Because there's another whole set of can of worms and issues when it comes to moving your contact list from one management program to another management program.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of there's always new rules and regulations with the anti-spamming laws, and they're really serious about it. and they're getting more and more stringent. So one shopping cart, for example, takes anti-spamming laws very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. You cannot import a list into that program without having an opt-in email go out to everybody on your list. So, for example, if you've built your list in one of these free ones, you've built your list up to, say, 800-900 people, and you're getting close to, because a lot of them have a 500 or 1,000 limit on the free ones, and you're going to have to move your list in order to keep it growing, but it's taking you, say, 2 years to build that list. When you import that list into one shopping cart, now everybody on that list gets an email that says, in order to keep receiving information from this person, you have to click here and let us know you really want to receive this stuff. It's a safety protocol for them to make sure that you're not trying to import a list that you've bought, that it is genuinely your list. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, you have the potential to lose a lot of your list. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people can't be bothered to click the link. A lot of people look at it and go, well, I've been getting stuff from this person for 6 months or a year. Now they want me to opt in. This sounds kind of fishy. I'm not going to bother to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I want you to look ahead at what your business is going to be in a year or 2 years when you're trying to decide which one is going to suit you. Now,
right.
I mentioned earlier that one of them, their prices for corporate is like $1,000 a month, and don't I wish I could afford that, because they have everything rolled into one package. They're a phenomenal program, and my business will get there someday, but I'm not there. I need to pick something probably midway between where I know I'm headed and where I am right now. That's still going to be affordable.
Right, right. So, Liz, before we move on from the email management, I just want to mention two kind of low-cost ones that I used before I switched to one shopping cart, and see if you know of any other low-cost ones you want to recommend they consider. I liked Constant Contact. The reason that because it had free help. I love the help, and they also had very inexpensive trainings that I took some. The reason I switched and added aweber.com, which is a different email system, is that they had more than one autoresponder series. So I had previously, before I had the Telesummit, I actually had the Moon Salutation ebook, and I also had a Green Yoga ebook on my website for a while. So I had two autoresponders for those, and Aweber would allow an unlimited number of autoresponders, but it was, I believe, only $20 a month. Are there others you like that are low cost?
Let me just have a little look through my list here and see. Swiss Page starts out low as well, around $15 a month. One of the advantages with Swiss Page is they have surveys and web forms included in that. MailDog I haven't used. It again, it's around $30 a month.
MailDog,
MAILDOG.
And can you spell the other one?
Which?
The before, flip, you said flip dog, flip chick?
I said MailDog and then MailChimp.
MailChimp. But isn't MailChimp free?
MailChimp has a paid version as well, starting as low as $10 a month. It has a free version, but with your free one, you are limited to 500 contacts.
Okay.
You're also very limited in MailChimp with the personal customization of your e-zine. We talked a little bit earlier about the header on your website and how that's now personalized. Mm-hmm. Bringing in personal things like that into some of the free or some of the lower cost ones is very hard to do for a non-techie or average person.
Mm-hmm.
On the higher priced ones, it's a lot easier. They have a lot more ability for you to personalize and custom it. You know, one of my clients, her website colors are green and purple. That's her business colors. They're on branded on everything that she does. Mm-hmm. In something like MailChimp, we don't have the ability to pick the exact green and the exact purple that she uses.
Right.
We could get a similar green and a kind of a purple, and we'd have to pick, you know, either no header or one of their pictures. So that has to do with some of the limitations.
Got it. Let's switch and start talking about the teleconferencing systems. There are some free ones. There are some paid ones. Could you slowly go over the names of the free ones, you know, and how people can find them and what the differences are between paid or free systems?
Oh, you asked me a question I wasn't prepared for.
Oh, sorry. I've been getting questions about how to do teleseminars.
Yeah,
how to make a recording, which is also relates to how to make a recording and put it online for people, MP3.
I didn't get the list of the free providers ready. There's free conference calling.
Okay, well, then I can just say, great. Just say that again, sorry.
Freeconferencecalling.com. There's freeconference.com, freeteleseminarlist.com. What have I got here? There's freeconferencing.com. I don't think instantconferencing.com has a free option anymore. I think it has a free trial. It used to be free. And there's tons more out there that you can pay for. There's webconferencing.com, webex.com, gotomeeting.com, instantteleseminar.com, just to name a few. Yes. I can't remember the name of the other one that we looked at for you. The one that had the ability to break out into groups.
Maestro.
Yes, Maestro. Yes.
So could you go over some of the basic differences and how they work?
Well, they all have the basic capability of providing you with a phone bridge line, which is what we're talking on today. A phone bridge line is basically one telephone number that is set up to allow multiple people to call the same number and all hear the same call. And they've called it a bridge line. That's the technical terminology for it. They will all allow you to record your call while you're on your call. Some have the ability to have a webcast as well as a telephone call. With the one that we are currently using, we could show you a PowerPoint presentation on the web while we speak to you on the phone. Now, that's not a function that we currently use as part of it. Some of them have actual video capability where for video conferencing where you would actually be able to see us through our webcam while we teach you. Some of them have the ability to break people out into groups for smaller in-class discussions. So we could ask a question and say, okay, I'm going to pair you guys up into twos and give you 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and everybody can say their piece. And when that happens, the smaller group would only be able to hear those that are on that smaller group, and then they would all come back onto the main call.
Mm-hmm.
Some are easier to use than others in the back end portion of it, or the controls that you have available to you while you're on the call. With all of them, you have the ability to mute people, to unmute people, ask people to raise their hand. But the dashboard is where that's controlled, and how easy that is to use for somebody without technical experience varies widely between some of these different services.
And can you talk about how to get a recording to your students? Like if you have an MP3, either that you've made, like if you record an MP3, and just folks, I would recommend using either a handheld audio recorder or your iPhone or some other smartphone where you have the capability to record voice memos or an audio recorder. and then you can connect that to your computer and you get an MP3. How do we deliver MP3s to students or deliver recordings from a teleseminar like this to students?
Okay. If it's a recording that you've made, a digital MP3 on a memo recorder, something like that, you're going to first get that onto your computer in the form of a file, an MP3 file, and then you will probably need the assistance of your web designer or whoever's helped you with your website, and you need to upload it to the website and then create a link that will take them to the exact hidden page that you have uploaded it to. So it's only available to those who have the actual link. If you use a conferencing service such as what we're using today, where we record all of our calls, they actually provide you a link to give out to people to go to the recording. So unless there was something went wrong on the call and you had to edit something out, you would just give them that link and they would be able to access the entire product beginning to end.
Right, and even the free ones do that. Yeah, I think that's great, Liz, because before I had Instant Teleseminar, which I had to upgrade to when I did the Telesummit because there were so many people calling in on the phone, I couldn't hold it on the free line anymore. But before that, I had done teleseminars for very small groups, you know, maybe up to 20. And at that time, they would still allow you to give people the link for a recording. So even the free ones will allow you to do that. I did have a question from Denise on the webcast here asking how to make a recording on her Mac. Let me go to it. And put it in a program and post it on YouTube. To post on YouTube, Denise, I believe is video. I actually can shoot video from my computer using QuickTime. And you can actually make a video of a Skype call. You can make a video of your computer screen. You might, yeah, and I think you could make a video in iMovie of you looking into that little button at the top of your Macintosh computer. So if you go to iMovie or QuickTime, one of those should be able to help you. And if you have the Apple Help, even on the telephone, they can talk you through it in more detail. But I have made movies on my Macintosh computer using the little camera at the top, and I believe it was iMovie. It might have been QuickTime. I think it's QuickTime to get a screenshot, and it's iMovie to get you talking into that video camera. and then you can upload those to YouTube. If you want to make just an audio recording, I think you could do that in GarageBand on your Apple. What I've done more is from my iPhone or a voice recorder. Let's go to just see if there's any questions. We're going to open it up. If you'd like to ask a question, we will talk more. There's Facebook. We'll answer some more questions. So if you have a question, press *2 to raise your hand. Now, my voice seems to be failing here. I'm holding it up with T, but Liz, can you unmute people when you want to answer questions?
Yes, I can,
okay.
Yeah.
So press *2 to ask a question, folks. We'll just wait for a minute here, see if anyone has questions. Okay, I see one.
Okay, we got a question here from Ivy first. How are you today, Ivy?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. I am just wondering, that was really helpful to hear about the email management systems and also the video conferencing. And I'm wondering for both of those, Laura, what are you using? Which ones are we using right now?
For audio conference. Oh, go ahead, Liz. Yeah.
Yeah, let your voice rest. I can answer it. For the conferencing, we are using instantteleseminar.com. And for the email management, we are using oneshoppingcart.com.
Okay. Yeah, you had mentioned the one shopping cart. Okay, great. And, okay, I think that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, that was quick and easy. Thank you, Ivy.
Thank you, Ivy.
Okay. And we have somebody from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Laura. This is Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi.
What's your question?
Can you hear me? I just wanted to ask Liz briefly if she had any experience with using MindBody Online, which also uses constant contact.
I do not have any experience with MindBody Online.
Yeah, Pam, this is Laura. I haven't used MindBody either. I probably should, just so that I can compare it and help my clients understand it. If there's anybody on this call right now who has used MindBody software, which is a software for yoga teachers and yoga studios, would you raise your hand and maybe you could answer this question about how what you think about MindBody? It's star 2 to raise your hand.
I do use it. Mm-hmm. So I was just, you know, any other further information about it. It's big and it doesn't quite fit my studio, but it's really helpful to have a really good database. And it does interact directly with Constant Contact, so it updates my mailing list. So,
good. So it updates your mailing list, and what else do you like about it?
I like the database capacity that it has because it's really, it's huge. It has all the email autoresponders, so whenever someone signs up for a class online, they automatically get an email confirming them and welcoming them.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that I really enjoy about it.
Mm-hmm. And what are the pieces that it's not so great for that you found?
Well, for me, because my studio isn't huge and we have many of our classes actually fill up, so they're closed classes, not an open drop-in forum, and they are set up much more for studios that are large enough so that they're drop-in classes, and I think it works really well for those, and it's been a little tricky. I have to set up all my classes, especially as workshops.
It makes
more work for you. A little more difficult for me, but there's still a lot of out there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
So I guess I'd see if you can now add more info.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So thank you, Pam.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pam. Sorry I couldn't answer your question.
So, Liz, why don't we talk for a minute about, here's an email from Denise or comment saying thank you much. We are going to go back and look at some other things as well as social media, but I'm wondering if before we do that we could just take a little pause, and you have incredibly low cost to your services. I just want to tell you this is honest, folks. And Liz is reliable. So do you want to go over some of how people could hire you and what you're doing right now? If people want, I'll just say one thing. One place that you can go is a forum called odesk.com, www.odesk.com. There's also Elance, and you can look if you have a very specific type of job you want to hire out. Those are good places. And I have been very happy with Liz's work, so I do recommend her. And so, Liz, why don't you tell them if they wanted to sample your services, how they would do that?
Okay. Well, you can always go to my general website. It has a full list of my services. That is reedsvirtualsolutions.com. And if you were to go to reedsvirtualsolutions.com/yoga special, I have a very special yoga teacher introductory program designed just with you ladies in mind. So Reeds is R-E-I-D-S, virtualsolutions.com/yoga special. And the link for this will be on the forum later. Can I post it there, Laura?
Absolutely, yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So
there's your beautiful photo. love it. Lipstick and all. Go, girl.
The one and only time I ever wear lipstick.
I remember meeting you. I don't think you were wearing any then. Yeah, so okay.
No, I do not wear makeup at all. And I've been at a networking event, and a lady there was selling her own makeup that she designed and did a makeover, and that was where the picture came from.
I love it. Beautiful. Okay, so thank you. So tell us what, yoga teacher introductory program, gain more time to focus on your brilliance. I love it. There's a frazzled person picture. So again, the URL, which means the web address, is Reeds Virtual Solutions, R-E-I-D-S, V-I-R-T-U-A-L, Reeds Virtual Solutions, and solutions is plural, .com, then that / yoga special, and just hit return. Yoga special. We're on the page called yoga special. Okay, I'll let you explain this, Liz.
Do I just go to the what I'm offering, or do I go all through the page here, Laura?
Tell us, okay, it sounds like you're talking about the benefits of working with a VA, which is that they won't be like that frazzled person going, oh my goodness, help. They will be relaxed, like the picture of you. You are, I could just tell you, Liz is relaxing. You will feel relaxed getting your work done if you do work with Liz, which is one of the things I love about working with you, Liz. Liz always has a great attitude, and that is wonderful. Even on the days when I'm feeling a little frazzled, she's calm and calm as a cookie, cool as a cucumber, and gets the work done, so I appreciate that. Okay, so let's talk about what you're offering.
So what we're offering in this introductory program is 5 hours of my service time to sample any combination of these services that are listed here. And I've listed social media services. That includes such things as getting set up on social media, getting a business page. It could be posting on social media. It could be just updating your profile. Newsletter creation and distribution. That has to do with
email
management.
Email, okay.
Email. I have done print newsletters. I do print letters for one of my clients as well. This was designed to be email or e-zine creation, okay. I guess, and or distribution. So if you already have a newsletter and you just want some help with getting it prettied up and getting it out, we can do that. If you don't have one and you want the branding, we do work with designing logos, helping you to get your colors, get your brand, and get it to be consistent throughout your website, your print advertising, your e-zine. It needs to flow through all of it. We can post events online. There's a lot of great resources out there to get the word out by posting online. Designing logos, letterhead, and or custom forms. Professional course
or a brochure, if a yoga teacher is making a brochure.
Yep, we can help you with that. Brochure, postcards, flyers to hand out. I've done several flyers for Laura's husband when he's going to go out and speak somewhere and he wants to put out a notice that I'm going to be here this day from this time to this time and this is what I'm talking about. We've helped him to create his flyers for that to go out and put up. Professional correspondence to both your clients or clients and customers. Confirm appointments, calls, or consultations. And we do a lot of online research. That could be research about software such as email management systems. It could be about hardware. It could be, what do you need to look for in a computer, travel, gifts, etc.
Okay.
And then we have a couple of bonuses that we've thrown in here. So the first bonus is a 15-minute telephone consultation to help you figure out what services are best to hand off to somebody else at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Our second bonus is just an extra 2 hours to use towards any of our services that we offer. The third bonus is 10% off your next purchase from Reeds Virtual Solutions. So that is 10% off any regular priced service or package that's listed on my website.
And I just want to clarify, Liz, can I pause here?
Yeah.
This is a huge discount off your – I just want you guys to get that this is a good deal because Liz's services are normally $30 per hour. Am I correct about that?
$35.
Okay. So $35 an hour, and basically when you put in the two additional hours, plus the five, it's really a seven-hour package for $150. That's under $35, definitely. What are we at? I mean, that's a good rate. And $35 is a good rate. So,
yeah, you're about 21 and a half, a little less than that.
Wow. Can I have one of these with my firm? I want one, Liz. I'm raising my hand. Can I?
Sure.
Okay, click the little button that says buy now.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So there's the call to action. So this is a really, really good deal. If you want to get started, if you want to try some things, this is a very generous offer that Liz is making here. And then 10% off your next purchase. So then if you were to continue with her, you would get 10% off of her, the ongoing rate for your next bulk of hours, whatever you decide to contract with her for. And then it looks like you have an audio call on networking. Great. On LinkedIn and communicate. Yeah. Okay. So there is a buy now button right here. For those of you who want to, some support from Liz, she does come recommended by me. This is a phenomenal rate from a trusted person. And you get to see her face up there, lipstick and all. And you also have a website special, and it's more expensive than this to build a website, you know, clearly, but I think your website deal is pretty good. Do you want to tell people about that?
Okay.
If you want this, or we could just stay on this page, and if they're interested in the website, they could buy this and then apply this to the website. Maybe we should say that way.
Yeah, if you can buy this, and then you can apply that 10% discount to the website.
Yeah.
We have two separate website packages, depending on whether your needs are a custom-built HTML site or whether you would prefer a more user-friendly WordPress site that you would be able to learn how to maintain yourself later. So for our true custom-built HTML website, the price for the package is $950. The 10% off would apply to that package. If you would prefer the more user-friendly WordPress package, the price for that is $750, with the 10% off is applied to that package as well.
Okay. But let's just stick with this one for now. If you're wanting some help, and it might even just be thinking through how you would build your website, or it might be thinking through how to get social media going, get a newsletter going, you might not be ready for a website. On this page, readsvirtualsolutions.com, R-E-I-D-S, virtualsolutions.com. /yoga special. And Liz, how long will this page be up? How long? I know that some people are with us today and some will not be listening to this recording till later. How long is this very discounted, deeply discounted price available for?
This particular page will be up until the 15th of March and then it will go away.
Okay. So folks, you have till March 15th. We might even just send a reminder email when we get a few days away from that, but I would recommend doing it now because Liz's time can fill. So readsvirtualsolutions.com/yoga special to see her amazing deal. Are we ready to move on, Liz? Anything else you want to say about this?
I'll just point out, if you're looking for something like a website and you're not interested in all of the services and the bonuses that I put into that package, and you know, I don't see why anybody would not want all the bonuses. But if you go all the way to the bottom, you can join our mailing list. You'll still get the coupon for 10% off. And you'll still get the 15-minute telephone consultation. You will not get the other two bonuses. You won't get the extra 2 hours, and you won't get the access to the networking call that we're going to be doing. But you will still get the coupon for 10% off. So if what you need right now is a website, and that's the only thing that you can see that you need right now, go ahead and put your name in at the bottom, and you'll get that 10% off coupon, and then there'll be directions how to redeem the 10% off any of the packages that are on my website. There are also packages on the website for TeleSummit and TeleSeminar programs as well.
Okay. So join our email list at the bottom. You just put your email there and click join, and then you get you're invited to a 15-minute complimentary consultation, which I think is very useful. So I highly recommend you sign up on one of these buttons, either the 150 introductory program or the 15-minute talk to Liz, which is very generous, Liz. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah. So let's go on now. I know there was questions about social media, Facebook, LinkedIn. Do you want to talk about those and how yoga teachers can use those?
I would love to talk about social media. How much time do I have left?
We're getting close.
Okay. A lot of people have huge misconceptions about how to use social media for their business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people also have misconceptions about how to network in person as well. And really, social media is just an extension of how you would network when you go out in person and you meet a group of people. Networking is not about making the sale, although it's everyone's ultimate goal. We want you to buy our product. Social networking, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is specifically business, and there are more tools on LinkedIn to be able to get your product out and to get connected to people who are specifically interested in your product. But the reason to use social media is to build the social part, build the friendship, build the confidence. And Laura, when I started with you, we started with a telesummit. Mm-hmm. And you had 10 calls and there were no sales on any of your calls.
That's right.
And we had a Facebook business page that was connected to that. And people were coming on and they were commenting about the content of the calls. And the idea with social media is to get the interaction. So you want to post something that somebody is going to be moved to make a comment or answer a question about, and then you create a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about building the social friendship and the social relationships. Once that's in place, then you can pepper in offers for a product here and there. And I'm sure that we can all relate when you get connected to somebody on Facebook and everything they post is, buy my new product, I've got a new product today, I've got something else coming up. We tend to go, oh, all they want me to do is buy from them, and we tend to ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest mistake that people are making with social media is all they want to do is sell. They want to sell on it. And, yes, ultimately you do want those people to buy from you. But they're only going to buy from you if you can build the relationships first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is to get on there and be yourself on there. Ask a genuine question. You can keep your topic related to your business if you want, or you can expand into more general things. I know people, one of my clients spent 3 months in Australia and built her friend base on Facebook immensely while she was there because she went on Facebook every day and said, this is where I am in Australia today, and this is what I'm going to do. Or the weather's sunny here today. Or I saw a kookaburra. But it built her list on there phenomenal because you couldn't wait to hear, where is she going to be tomorrow? What's she going to do tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Because she traveled all of the continent of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of 3 months. And that was she was putting very personal things on there. But it built the relationship and the friendship because now these people that some have never met her feel like they know her because they traveled with her to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what social media is all about, is building the relationships, and that's going to take time and it's going to take your time. You can absolutely have some experts help you, but I have a lot of people that come to me and they say, oh, I just want you to do it. We can do that, but it's not going to be anywhere near as effective as if you take 15 minutes at the beginning of your day and 15 minutes at the end of your day to make a post, check what people have commented, and respond. Because when it comes from you, they're going to hear you in those comments and in everything that goes on there. When we're trying to put comments for you, sometimes we get it right and perfect, and other times I'm going to say things that it's not how you would have said it, and it just won't feel real to the people that are reading it.
Do you recommend your clients spend 30 minutes a day on Facebook? I don't
maximum.
Do that. Nowhere near.
Maximum.
I don't.
30 minutes.
I barely get on Facebook. You know, some people are on Facebook a lot. I am barely on Facebook. I send an email and I say, you know, comment on Facebook, and I realize, oh, I need to go post something. I'm probably one of the lower ones on Facebook. I should probably do a little more than I do.
Yeah, you probably should. 15 minutes is kind of the maximum. 15 minutes morning, 15 minutes night is the maximum. The reason I put a time frame to it is because it's very easy to get sidetracked on Facebook, because while you're looking at what people commented on, you're, oh, well, let's see what they have on their page, and you get off to their page and you see a comment somebody else made, and you can just keep looping along and trooping along, and your day can get wasted away. So 15 minutes is the absolute most at a time. And a lot of people do it in 5 minutes morning, 5 minutes end of day.
So we'll talk more about this when we go over the whole Lakshmi energy. being on Facebook is free marketing. It's a kind of gift, really, because you're in dialogue with potential clients, potential students. And I don't think, this is my personal philosophy, Liz, you might disagree, I don't think we need to do all of it. I think that each one of us needs to find the methods of being generous that work for us and that work for your business. You do need to have a way to be out there and to be connecting with people, but it doesn't have to be Facebook. And I personally believe that Facebook is more effective these days than Twitter. Posting videos on YouTube can be a great way, and you can send them to your followers through your email system. If you were going to pick either going on Facebook or sending email, I would actually prefer that you start sending an e-zine before you really build up your Facebook presence, because email is a way of just being in front of your contacts, the people who've said they might like to be potential students sometime, on a regular basis, and getting your name there and your message to those people in a gift way. And we'll talk about that more in our unit on Lakshmi, but I don't think everyone has to do Facebook.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I mean, some people might want to do LinkedIn and not Facebook. I mean, there's lots of them out there. Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn are the biggest names. I personally don't find Twitter effective for business at all.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook has some limited capabilities, and LinkedIn is better for business if you're really looking to connect with potential clients in that type of setting. I would recommend LinkedIn for business purposes over Facebook, and I do agree that getting an e-zine out is a better option, because your list that you're going to send your e-zine out to are people that you have either A, already met, or B, have found your website, your opt-in box, a flyer, something, and come to see. They're interested in your stuff. They're already interested. So don't ignore those people in hopes of interesting other people.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So I'll just, yeah. So one more, don't ignore the people who've already opted in. That's right. So one more thing before we end is that one thing you can do on Facebook is you can create an event, and you can invite people to it. It could be a free event or a paid event. When I do a free teleseminar, we will create an event and invite my lists to that, and then they can share that. So that becomes a form of outreach. So thank you all for being with us on this call. I think, Liz, why don't we go ahead and post another link on the forum that says follow-up, you know, your ahas. Please share your ahas from the bonus call on techie questions. And we'd love to hear what new insights you got from this call, what you learned from this call, what ahas came to you, and if there's any remaining questions, we will answer them on the forum. And I look forward to talking with all of you this Thursday. Hopefully my voice will be a little more functional. And we have our training call on Saraswati and how to really develop your creativity, which is your growing edge as a yoga teacher, and always staying at your edge so that you enjoy your teaching, and your teaching is full of life and vitality, and your students will be very nourished by and attracted to that life and vitality in your teaching, and and how to develop your best ocean project, that depth that is you, your creative depth in your teaching. So that's this Thursday. Do go ahead and register your bonus ticket to the retreat. We'll look forward to having you there. And I will talk to you this Thursday. So many blessings. Namaste. Namaste.